Welcome to Classic Comics Cavalcade. I'm Jason Sachs.
I'm Amir Malikpour.
And we are continuing and maybe concluding our look at Walt Simonson's Thor with a look at Thor 345, which is a kind of nice transitional issue. A lot of stuff is brewing, a lot of stuff is about to happen. And we're going to get payoff soon. It's also the end of Thor Visionaries Volume 1 for what it's worth. So it might be a good like stopping point and come back at some other point.
Is this the last issue in that collection?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Which is a strange choice, right? But we can talk about all that offline and get back to our fans in another way. That was a really interesting issue. Like
Yeah, I
a
was very
different
confused.
style and feel versus anything we've seen before in this book.
Like
Which is
more violent, there are deaths in there.
it's got the almost like a James Bond sort of feel to it, or like an espionage feel, or something like that.
Like a serial killer feel.
Yeah. I liked it from that standpoint.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers feel.
Ooh, I like that call out. A good call out. Let me do what we always do. Nice cover. Oh, I think it's really nicely designed how like Thor is just like stuck inside of this web, you know, he's trapped. Those long, long fingers. Malekith just looks like he's trouble. And I gotta admit, like I started reading this comic and I'm like, what am I reading? What happened? Where's my Thor?
Where is that guy's hand going to?
It's just behind
Right
her back,
hand.
isn't it?
What's that?
Isn't it just behind her back?
It looks like it goes into her body. I mean, it's a
Oh, I
quick
see what you're
drawing
saying.
by
Yeah.
Ball.
Yeah, it's a little awkward, isn't it? I didn't think about that.
So it starts off with a mysterious guy attacking a woman who's in her in his office and then feeding her McDonald's or McBee's or whatever, McBurgers. Which is kind of interesting because it says like, this is the best kind of burgers you could buy. Most, it's like, okay, whatever. It just looks like a regular hamburger.
Yeah, I don't know why he's hyping it or what the significance is of the food either.
So initially it's like, what's this guy's a murderer? What's going
Yeah.
on?
Why did she trust him before and now she's completely stressed out about it? He's Why is he trying to force her to eat a hamburger too?
Do you know this, Jason?
I don't know this.
Oh, okay.
Because I was reading that, I'm like, is she a vegetarian? Is he trying to force food on her? What's going on?
And then how do the cops find out? I mean, the next page where the cops come, how do they find out about it?
Well, I
The
think they hear her screaming, or they hear her noise, the noise,
screen.
and then they immediately bust down the door, which is like not like anything I ever saw in a cop show, and confront the psychologist or whatever he is. And then they bring him down to the station. But like, it all feels so strange, right? Like, if you were reading this in a separate story, not have anything to do with Thor or whatever, and you have the scene where like the police bust down a door, basically just because they hear a noise, would you even believe it? Like on a TV show or something?
Yeah, it's very quick. Like, how do they find out about it?
Yeah. Hear screams coming from this office. So I get, okay, I guess there's a reason for it, but it just seems like they're just bloodthirsty, these cops. They immediately read the guy his rights. So he's charged with, what is he charged with? It's weird. Have you ever been to the Guggenheim?
No, I have not. I missed it. Yeah, I went to the Met and the MoMA.
Oh yeah, the Met was really cool. I was at the Guggenheim, must be 5 years ago now, and they had this display of extremely miniature like dioramas. It was a really interesting like show, but I didn't know what I was supposed to make of it. I like the
Is
way he
this where
kept
they're
it.
at? They just are leaving the Guggenheim?
Yeah.
Oh,
You can tell
interesting.
because it's got those ramps and stuff, and then it's right on Central Park.
Oh, nice.
So he's actually drawing the real places because there's the reservoir and the bridge over it. I mean, obviously Simonson lived in New York. I wonder if those are the actual apartments or towers that were on Central Park in that area when he drew this comic.
So in this case, Thor is really buying to the romantic sense of the whole thing. Is that right?
Seems like he's bought into Lorelai, doesn't it? Don't you
Interesting.
think?
Yeah. It's so funny because Lorelai doesn't really need to drug him. She could actually just have him like her.
Well, they were a pretty appropriate couple for each other, right? They're really both really attractive. They're like, they just seem like they're one of these couples. If you saw them together, you'd say, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
You know, it's so funny. There's a part where she alludes to, I don't know if it's later on, she says, like, oh yeah, like you're a Viking. Or maybe that's later. But like Thor is a redhead, like her in real, like not real life, but in real mythology, he's a redhead. Only in the Marvel comics did he become blonde.
I think they mentioned that a little later on.
Yeah, it's
Maybe
later.
leading a team of redheaded raiders or something, right?
But I like that horse. It looks like it's photoshopped or something. Not photoshopped, but
That time,
straight.
I guess he
It's
would
a
have
good
had to
horse.
light box it or something.
Light, yeah, it's a good horse.
A shadow too. I didn't notice the shadow till just now.
It's a good drawing, yeah.
It's like solid drawing.
Good foreshortening.
Oh yeah, right. As an artist, what do you think of that? The foreshortening there.
I mean, I'm not an artist. I draw, but yeah, I think it's cool. It's well drawn. It's not like a, I wouldn't, it doesn't look like a Simonson horse, though.
So maybe he was like taking it from a photo. I'm just really impressed by the detail in the shadow. That's not the sort of thing you would ordinarily see in a superhero comic. And you can see in that third panel, he says, I should have probably have sailed a Viking ship of old. So he's kind of doing like a wink and a nod to the reader too.
Oh, there it is. She says it. Led a party of red-bearded raiders. So he was a red-bearded guy himself.
Yeah. Ironically, she's red-haired. And then we cut back to this whole strange adventure thing. I like how he centers it on a woman cop. That would have been unusual at the time. And these looks on her face actually seem pretty realistic to me. It's like a really interestingly well done sequence, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, who is that cop? I think this is where the body snatcher thing comes in. On my thought.
Yeah, we kind of get that feeling right through here. What is
Yeah,
the
with
Wild
the
Hunt too? Yeah, she leaves the cookies and then the Wild Hunt with you is a quarry. Like, what does that even mean? She's dropping little hints. But I want to say the hair and the face. This has got Simonson's fingerprints all over it. It totally looks like Simonson's art. I don't know why I'm even calling this out because it's obviously all him, but just looks, he just loves that kind of curly cue kind of approach to things. And it just feels so much like him completely being himself. I just think that's so cool. Like he really is, he's got complete freedom here.
Yeah, you know, if you go back to the hair, he's a
Yeah.
big fan of Topi, Sergio Topi.
Oh,
And
yeah.
that hair is a Topi style hair.
You're right. He's a huge fan of Topi.
That's like exactly how his style of hair does in the artwork.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
In fact, I think if you buy the Topi collection, the English versions, Simonson does an intro in those books, and I think he's a big fan.
We should
Like a
talk
lot
about
of that stuff, like his eye, like the shadows under the eyes on panel two, that's Topi style, you know, with those lines and like boxes and stuff like that, and then the hair too. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, let's talk about Topi some point in the future.
I think we have done a video on our podcast on Topi a
Your
while back.
podcast, yeah, let's do a
Yeah.
video on him. I really admire his work.
Cool.
Even the face of the woman in the last panel is kind of got a Topi look to it. Very subtle. And then this is what reminds me so much of like James Bond or a sleeper awakening kind of thing. You know, here's this attorney who's carrying this, he's been carrying the secret around for years. He has to unlock it from his vault. Strother Martin, I think, was a comedian. I don't know why he's making a reference to that because it has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
This is also really solid storytelling. I know I get obsessed with this kind of thing, but like between panels two and three, Simonson hold, actually between the whole middle tier, Simonson holds that view. So everything is really solidly based in like a perspective. He does a really nice job of kind of building that scene. And then when he flips it 90 degrees and the attorney goes into his vault, like it just feels very natural. We've already been introduced to that space. This is really smart storytelling. Like it's a very solid. I see why Jim Shooter liked him so much because the storytelling principles are like so solid.
Yeah.
Or Balder.
There's a story of Baldur, somebody's trying to kill him, blah blah blah.
I like his face in panel two a lot.
That's like the standard grimace. Like all the old male characters in this issue have like that frown.
Yeah.
The lawyer had it. And the character that we're going to come up in two pages has it.
Everyone just feels a little downbeat.
Yeah.
Thor's happy. No downbeat there. He's having a good old time of it. Yeah, this guy. Again, downbeat.
Yeah, so just what I don't understand that this guy is the psychologist's son, but he looks older.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
So that's kind of weird.
I understand that.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, but
Yeah.
apparently he's gotten a call from the lawyer and there's some emergency, and maybe that psychologist is somebody important that we'll find out later, but we don't know yet.
Well, I am as the brother, but not the son. Also, I don't know how much before this they had done lower, upper, and lower case lettering in a Marvel comic. So this feels really different for him to sit down and write a letter. That's like upper and lower case. I just think that's a nice touch. It feels very different for its time.
Even for
It was.
letters, I mean, I guess I don't know the ref, I don't
It
know.
wasn't really till Brian Bendis where there was a lot of upper and lower case lettering
Oh, okay.
in
But what I
Marvel.
mean by this guy's writing a reading a letter, so that's different than, say,
Yeah.
dialogue or captions.
I just have trouble thinking of any other times like before the mid 80s where you'd see something like this. Maybe it came from some indie comics, like maybe from Nexus or something like that. Actually, it was a lot of that in Grendel. And I think Frank Miller might have used some lowercase when he was doing that parallel narrative thing he used to like to do. Anyway, nice sequence, I think.
Should we go on to the next one where it's actually our main character of this issue? Yeah,
Yeah,
sorry.
I'm going to move ahead to Malekith.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, the fries and stuff. That guy runs away. I mean, he's able to run away from the jail by feeding the minion fries. And turns her into mush, takes the keys, runs away.
Hops on a bus. He doesn't steal a car, he hops on a bus.
That's good storytelling.
Think it's an interesting choice, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's good story. Do you think it's story? Because I couldn't tell it was on a bus.
That
It
was
didn't really matter.
just
I guess you
interesting
saw a bus.
touch.
Yeah, you see a bus.
Back to Thor, and this is like this weird, like almost like a Superman scene where he's about to sit down with Lois Lane, and then suddenly he hears crisis from the other side of the world or something. It's such a like qu cute little cliche. He keeps leaving Melody like at the moment when she's excited, ready to kind of seduce him, and he keeps running off. It's like a classic like Superman moment.
It's funny how like Jarvis is pretty much Alfred.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the ideas get stolen and taken from each other.
He
Like
just
he
needed
has to
someone
be
on the other end.
vacuuming. He has to be vacuuming like Alfred. Like he can't have a different kind of a job.
Right. Well, Jarvis just lived 24/7 for his job, right? If you had to clean up after Tigra or someone, you'd ha always have to be vacuuming. She gets her hair everywhere.
And then we see our therapist who apparently has killed some bad people. So the fries and hamburger feeding of the people is actually they're not good people. Obviously, we know that from the magic cookies and stuff, and he's being followed. And a really attractive woman wants to pick him up and help him out, which somehow he gets in the car with. He just killed a bunch of bad people. A couple of them were women too. And now somehow he gets in the car with this person. I don't get it.
Yeah,
That can't
well,
be a good idea, right?
I think Angel's got something going on. I think Angel's she knows the deeper story.
Yeah. Angel probably has some things that can persuade, some
He
methods.
knows some secrets, right? It's like one of those action movies where the hero's running away and everyone's chasing him, and he meets this. Well, this is exactly like an action. He meets this beautiful woman in this fancy sports car, and she picks him up, and it turns out like she's been sent by them to seduce him and then betray him or something. Right? Doesn't seem like something like that. And in the end, she turns around and becomes his ally, and they have a they sail off into the sunset together or something.
Yeah, so we think. So Thor jumps into the lawyer's room to look for the casket of what? Casket of ancient winters. There's something like a casket of ancient winters.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
A storm long in the making is about to break.
Interesting. And it involves the dark elf, Malekith, the accursed.
Yes, the accursed. And then we see Angel has her plans.
Yeah.
Something
I mean, the
about
guy's not that good looking, so why would Angel be that attracted to him?
But there's something about her that's familiar. Mm-hmm. She's got some sort of connection here. Yeah, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. He's just some dude.
Yeah. Where is the ancient caskets of winter, or ancient casket of ancient winters?
Love the way the hair goes in these pages and how she gets more and more almost like abstract as Simonson draws the seduction here.
Yeah.
So you feel like you're kind of going into a dream or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the twist.
Interlude. A lot of stuff going on. There's that.
Then the twist.
Oh my God. Well, Malekith kissed him, got him the location, killed him.
Killed him. Yeah, that last panel of the just like the desiccated face.
Now, Malekith is a character that Walter Simonson came up with, right?
It's a Simonson character, yeah.
Oh, interesting, dark elf. Because we think of elves, good people from Lord of the Rings, but not in Thor speak.
It's a dark elf. Lord of the Rings are light elves, right?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, dark elves are not bad. They're not friendly, but they're not that as bad as even in Lord of the Rings. But that's a different topic.
But Simon says, confused, bewildered, afraid to eat a McBurger again. Don't be. All will be explained next issue. I'm like, well, do we read the next issue or not? Darn it, I do want to know. So we'll figure it out, friends.